We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
It's my first Savior's Day, and I'm very, very honored to be here. Now, y'all know I'm here representing the hip-hop community as well as the black community, and we don't really have a leader. We don't really have nobody who we can go to when we have a situation that's a problem. But I always go to Minister Farrakhan.
An interesting event there. Savior's Day, held in Chicago on Sunday. That was Snoop Dogg, the rapper, joining the Nation of Islam, says he, when he's got trouble, he always goes to Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. We're going to be talking about the Nation of Islam and Savior's Day, held Sunday in Chicago. Pori Kazmir is going to be our guest for the next half hour or so. You can join us as well, live this Thursday afternoon, the 5th of March. Our number 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pori Kazmir is a researcher for Midwest Christian Outreach based in Chicago and author of the book Islamic Imposters, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. Pori, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
What was Savior's Day on Sunday in Chicago?
Well, Savior's Day is a day that, first of all, is not recognized by the international Muslim community, but only by the Nation of Islam, commemorating the birth of their founder, who they call Master Farrad Muhammad, or Master W.F. Muhammad. Supposedly, that is the birthday celebration of their founder.
So what kind of a celebration is it? What are the things being celebrated by members of the Nation of Islam?
Well, it's really only to highlight the fact that we remain in existence. We owe everything we are as an organization to the one that they call the Son of Man, the one they refer to as Allah, come to us in the flesh to deliver only black people. So it's highly significant for the black Muslims in this country to commemorate that person and the day of his birth. So this is an annual gathering to hear a message from Louis Farrakhan that is supposed to speak to some contemporary issue usually, and as well as to highlight the two most important figures in their organization, namely Wallace Fard Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad, who are both considered the Messiah.
When they use the term Messiah, coming from a Christian context, that has an awful lot of baggage loaded into it. What does the Nation of Islam mean to refer to these two men as Messiah or Savior?
Well, it has a black nationalist connotation to it, because the Messiah in the Nation of Islam has social significance as the deliverer of black people, but also Louis Farrakhan has poured into that meaning something entirely different, and that is that the Messiah that is spoken of in the scriptures is actually not the Messiah. Even though Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, he is not the Messiah Savior, but in fact Wallace Fard Muhammad is. And I would add quickly that their weekly periodical known as The Final Call highlights on the last page that under a category, what the Muslims believe, it states, "We believe that Allah God appeared in the person of Master W. Fard Muhammad on July 30th, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians." And so he is a social savior who delivers blacks from their problems, but also he has spiritual significance in that he is the actual fulfillment of the messianic figure spoken of in the Bible. So it's a clever distortion, and most people unfamiliar with his language will miss that.
Is the Nation of Islam, does it bear any real resemblance to Islam per se?
I would probably say only superficial and in the exteriors. They acknowledge a belief in the pillars of Islam, the giving of alms and or charity, the need for fasting, if you're able to make a Hajj to Mecca at least once in your lifetime. But that's all just a verbiage. When you really get down underneath the surface, the Nation of Islam is really an aberrant group who, while claiming to be Muslim and believe in the Quran, and while claiming to be Christian and believing in the Bible, they are really neither. For example, Wallace Fard, according to the writings of Elijah Muhammad and the writings and speeches of Louis Farrakhan, claims to be God in the flesh. But any Muslim scholar, I'll just name one in particular, Maulana Muhammad Ali, said that it is impossible for Allah to become human. And yet that is one of the primary pillars holding up the belief system of the Nation of Islam, and that from a Muslim's perspective, anyone claiming that Allah has come in human form commits, according to Maulana Ali, the greatest sin in Islam, which is called shirk. So it's very superficial. They have a different God. In fact, the first God in Islam, in the Nation of Islam's belief system, created himself from an atom out of the mist of the darkness of the universe, and thus, because the darkness is dark, the first God was a black man. And down through the ages, eventually, Allah sends a rescuer to give this message. And again, the prophet of Islam is not Muhammad of the 7th century, but the final prophet of Islam is Elijah Muhammad and not the Muhammad of the 7th century. So there are major differences, and I could continue to go on, but unfortunately, the things that Louis Farrakhan needs to be confronted about are rarely the things that he is confronted about, but rather, as a lightning rod, he finds himself in the news for politically inflammatory things he has said rather than the major contradictions in their beliefs compared to the beliefs of Islam as well as the Bible.
He garners a lot of attention, perhaps disproportionate with the actual scope or influence of the Nation of Islam. How many people are we actually talking about?
Well, unfortunately, it was confirmed just this week by the Chicago Sun-Times that the Nation of Islam does not release its membership numbers. So there is a guesstimate of tens of thousands, under 50,000, but again, because they don't release numbers of their membership, it's really a guess.
There's something that seems so curious here, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, you're looking at something like the Nation of Islam, and you've got to regard it, I think, as a counterfeit of both religions, it sounds like.
And thus the title of my book, Islamic Imposters. And he has done such a masterful job of using the rhetoric of the Quran and of the Bible to try to create a hybrid between the two, and many people have bought it. From the pulpit to the pew, there's been mass deception, and he has been permitted to perpetuate that kind of deception because he gets invited into churches. But you're absolutely right. There is major differences. There's nothing in common other than wording between the Nation of Islam and Islam as a religion as well as Christianity.
With about a minute here before we take our first break, Pore, Who is the white man according to the Nation of Islam's teachers?
Well, the white man according to the Nation of Islam is the devil. There is no doubt about that. The white man, very quickly, I'll just cite to you something Elijah Muhammad said. He said, whether they are actually blue-eyed or not, if they are actually one of the members of that race, they are the devils. And Louis Farrakhan, later on, and this was in a 1989 speech called The Origin of the White Race, he said, now the man of sin, referred to in Thessalonians, is being uncovered, and it is the Caucasian people. They are the real devil of the scriptures of the Bible and the Quran. Now, mind you, that wasn't many years ago when he said that. And this white race is doomed for destruction by the UFO that Wallace Fard Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad presently are dwellers on, that are supposed to come at an appointed time, but they've missed the time to destroy the white race.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to need to sort that one out. We're talking about the Nation of Islam. It had Savior's Day in Chicago on Sunday. Our guest, Pori Kazmir, is a researcher for Midwest Christian Outreach based in Chicago and author of the book Islamic Imposters, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the Nation of Islam? This break is a great time to call or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 5th of March. In about 15 minutes, we'll be talking about the oral arguments heard today in the California Supreme Court challenging Proposition 8 on gay marriage. Andy Puno and Lawrence Jordan will be our guests.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Gay marriage. Now, is it biblical?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the book War of the Worldviews.
Well, what does the Bible have to say about so-called gay marriage? Did you know there are many passages in both the Old and New Testaments that deal specifically with the doctrine of marriage and the issue of homosexual behavior? For instance, when you read Ephesians 5 and Matthew 19, there's no doubt that the doctrine of marriage, which is based on the account of creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis, is that it can only be one man and one woman. There's no basis whatsoever in Scripture for two men or two women to be a legitimate marriage. Scripture also makes it clear in Romans chapter 1 and many other places that homosexual behavior is a sin, an abomination. For example, Sodom and Gomorrah were judged because of this horrible sin. And consider this. According to Scripture, a purpose of marriage is to produce godly offspring. There's no way a gay marriage can fulfill this command. As our Western culture abandons the Bible more and more as the absolute authority, people will give up true marriage.
Ken Ham shares much more about this topic and many more hot-button issues of our day in a book he's co-authored called War of the Worldviews. He looks at abortion, racism, and cloning, and many other issues. For your gift of any size today, we'll send this great book out to you. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web, answersoffer.org, answersoffer.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Nation of Islam. They celebrated their Savior's Day Sunday in Chicago. Pori Kazmir is our guest. Charlie's on the phone. Charlie, welcome to Issues Etc. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. Two points. One, I remember back in September 2001, after the Twin Towers fell, there was an interfaith prayer service in New York City, and to get to represent Islam, they couldn't get any real Muslims, so they had some members of the Nation of Islam, and the preacher, Isaac M. El Pasha, I remember, was saying things that I don't think a real Muslim would say, something like, "We are all here, we are all believers," even though he used some of the rhetoric of Islam. My second point is that I grew up in the city of Chicago back in the 1960s. I remember Elijah Muhammad being a presence on the news programs, and they didn't really seem like true Muslims. But let me ask you this. If the white man is the devil, then how do they regard persons of mixed race who might include many of the members of the Nation of Islam? That's my question.
Great question, Charlie. Thank you very much. Pore.
That's a very good question, and I think it it's necessary. I don't want to take too long, but it's necessary to go back to what the Nation of Islam considers its history, that this savior who was prophesied to come to America to deliver black people had an experience or a conception that was supposed to mimic the conception of Jesus, in that one of the black gods went up into the Caucasus Mountains and retrieved a white woman, and after an exorcist was performed to get rid of the devils in her, there was a sexual union producing Wallace Fard Muhammad, who would, according to Farrakhan's words, be able to get in and disguise himself among the people of America, because he would have a dual race, a dual origin from a black and white person. But also, they still take a stand on interracial marriage being something that is forbidden. But this savior figure made his way to America, and supposedly that was for the purpose of delivering black people only. But his parentage, that was the point, was both black and white. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to take a stand against interracial unions when their supposed savior was a product of an interracial union, according to their own words.
You mentioned before the break a judgment day of sorts believed by the Nation of Islam's adherents involving a spaceship. What exactly is this teaching?
This is one of the primary beliefs that you don't hear much about today from Farrakhan, and you probably won't. But on the death of Elijah Muhammad, he supposedly went aboard a mothership. That's where he is now. That's what they refer to as the very large vehicle that will be the agent of destruction upon America's white race. Elijah Muhammad is supposedly aboard that spaceship, which Farrakhan did visit, and came back with a revelation. But that is the agent that is supposed to carry out the destruction. It is going to hover over America, unleash some 1,500 little UFOs that will drop bombs that will penetrate the earth and cause an explosion that will be so fiery and so intense that it will burn for some 600 years, rather, before it is extinguished. But more to the point, now the Nation of Islam is attempting to have more of an inclusive message, where this word from Farrakhan and his heir apparent is including Hispanics and whites, etc. But in a Princeton University speech that Farrakhan gave, he referred to Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson, when he was running for the Democratic presidential nominee, he referred to Jesse Jackson as the Messiah, and that in 1984, 84 would end the period of grace for America, particularly white people, and that the limit of the grace period would be 60 years, not to exceed 70 years. And then Farrakhan moved to change that. Just a month later, he gave a speech saying that depending on white America's treatment of himself, they could possibly get a 1,000-year extension if they treated him well. But then he did something interesting. In his Million Man March speech, the second anniversary speech he gave, the grace period changed because he said it wasn't supposed to go beyond 70 years, but he moved the start date of the countdown from 1914 to a later date, which was 1934. But if the grace period for the destruction of the white race, particularly in America, is not to exceed 70 years, he is still considered a false prophet by biblical standards because we have well exceeded that time, which would have ended in 2004.
A couple of quick questions here. You mentioned Farrakhan referring to Jesse Jackson in his presidential bid as the Messiah. I seem to recall, I'm quite certain, that Farrakhan also recently referred to Barack Obama in similar terms.
Yes, he did. He said, and actually I'm looking at the quote, he said, "Brothers and sisters, Barack Obama to me is a herald of the Messiah. Barack Obama is like the trumpet that alerts you something new, something better is on the way." So he refers to Barack Obama as a herald of the Messiah and actually says he sounds messianic. In another, in that same speech, he says, referring to the youth in particular, "You are the instruments that God is going to use to bring about universal change." And that is why Barack has captured the youth, and he has involved young people in a political process that they didn't care anything about. That's a sign. When the Messiah speaks, the youth will hear, and the Messiah is absolutely speaking, which seems to me to be a very unambiguous reference to Barack Obama not only being messianic-like, but the Messiah.
I want your reaction. You mentioned just a moment ago attempts, certain kind of stop-and-start attempts to broaden the scope of the Nation of Islam's message. Ismail Muhammad, the son of the founder of the Nation of Islam, is quoted in the paper saying, "You can see God's message. The good in that message is for all human beings." He's the religion's national assistant ministry. He wants to expand the reach of this religion out to other races and countries. Your reaction?
Well, the only problem with that is for not only Ismail Muhammad, but Louis Farrakhan to repudiate the statements that they have made in the past about the white race being a race of demons, originally created by a black god in the Garden of Eden, created by a black god who was a black man, and also that this race is doomed for destruction, and that it is only the white race Jesus was referring to in John 3, verse 3, that needed to be born again, because black people are not sinners by nature. And that is the teachings. Those are the teachings of the Nation of Islam. So I would be all for their change of direction. I believe their true message is still blasphemous, is still anti-Christian, anti-biblical, but they would also need to repudiate previous teachings that they've held since the beginning of their organization.
Pore Kazmir is a researcher for Midwest Christian Outreach based in Chicago. He's author of the book Islamic Impostors, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. Pore, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest.
You're very welcome, Todd. Thank you for the privilege.
Folks, you can find out more about Islamic imposters at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we've got 10 more minutes left in this hour of Issues Etc. This Thursday, March the 5th, we're going to spend that 10 minutes with two guests talking about the oral arguments heard today by the California Supreme Court challenging Proposition 8. Remember, Proposition 8 has to do with gay marriage. It's been back and forth and back and forth, and this Supreme Court has been supporting of gay marriage in California. We'll see what they'll decide as time goes by. Andy Pugno, general counsel for Yes on Prop 8, who was there in the courtroom, and Jordan Lawrence, senior vice president and senior counsel for the Alliance Defense Fund, will join us for the last 10 minutes of the program. We'll find out what was argued, why it was argued, and what the prospects of Proposition 8 in California are when we come back from this break. Our call-in number for the last 10 minutes, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll talk about the Supreme Court in California and California Prop 8 after this.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter, and we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How revealing life saves lives.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Statistics show that when an abortion-minded woman is counseled about keeping her baby and given the opportunity to view a live ultrasound image of the child in her womb, she is more likely to choose life. Knowing this, Focus on the Family began a program in 2004 called Option Ultrasound. The program is dedicated to providing pregnancy resource centers with ultrasound services. To date, 418 centers in 49 states have received the technology, and 63,000 babies have been saved as a result. Tune in next time to hear one impacted mother's story.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.